From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market reported as the 24th day of March, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vick. She's from Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. And then we'll take an in-depth look at the weather forecast around the planet, that with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it'll all happen right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Just a quick reminder that we'll record Commodity Week tomorrow. Our special guest for the program will include John Bondurant to Bondurant Futures. Many of you look forward to hearing him each and every spring. We'll also be joined by Alan Suderman from StoneX and Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. Should be a great program. You can hear it tomorrow evening on our website at willag.org, Friday on our home station, and on many of these radio stations over the weekend.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, May corn finished at $5.53 and a quarter. That was up 2 cents. July at $5.37 and a quarter, three higher. In December at $4.69, down 0.75 cents. That for the new crop. May beans were up 9.5 cents at the end of the day, $14.32 and 3 quarters. The settlement price, July at $14.21, 9 and 3 quarters higher. In November, soybeans new crop up 4 and 3 quarters at $12.28 and a quarter. The bean meal at $4.01 even, $2.20 higher. The bean oil for the day at $57.48, up 46 cents. Wheat futures soft red, nearby contract, or lead option actually, at May, down a dime at $6.24 and 3 quarters, July at $6.18 and 3 quarters, the harvest month 7.5 lower, and hard red July at $5.82 and a quarter, down 6 cents on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby April unchanged for the day. They were at $119.12.5 on their settlement price per 100 pounds. April feeders at $142.45, $2.70 higher, and the lean hogs at $97.77.5, up $1.30 on the day. Crude oil futures are currently trading at $61.25 a barrel. That's $3.49 higher. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.82.7, up 7 8/10 of a cent, and the wholesale price of gasoline now at $1.98.7. That's 9 cents higher on the day. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. Jackie Vick of Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri, now joins us to discuss the marketplace. Hi, Jackie. Thanks for being with us on this Wednesday, like usual, I suppose. Appreciate having you here.
Glad to be here.
Let's talk about some of our regular stuff. What do the support and resistance lines look like today?
Not a lot of changes, Todd. I'll just give support and resistance. On May corn, 529, 572, July, 498, 557, and December weekly chart, 455 and 486. On beans, we have May at 407 and 1521, July, 1342 and 1444, and a November weekly, 1169 and 1265. Dow Jones did have a change. We now have support at 29,756 and resistance at 33,228. There actually is a crossover point that has developed on Dow Jones, which hadn't been there before, at 34,416. And U.S. dollar, we've got support at 89,15, resistance at 93,87. Managed money, Todd, has been pretty interesting. Soft red wheat, they dropped from 20,000 to 10,000 contracts. On corn, from 378 to 349. Beans, they stayed exactly the same as last week at 155,000. Soy meal, 55,000, same as last week. And soy oil, they lightened up from 107,000 to 98,000. So it kind of backs up what we've been seeing on the board in terms of spreading, unspreading, you know, or unwinding spreads, all of the things that normally go on in a consolidating market ahead of a big report coming in. Export inspections, wheat's now running 1%. Behind compared to 2% last week. Corn 89% ahead compared to 87% last week. And beans 73% ahead compared to 74% last week. So not a whole lot of rocking action there, but it is concerning when you see corn 89% ahead of a year ago. I think it just highlights how dependent we are on continuing demand.
Hey, speaking of continuing demand, have you been watching the largest portion of the corn crop, which goes into the ethanol, and what's been happening there with stocks?
They did just come out with a stocks report this morning, and the analysts missed it. They were looking for the stocks to be tighter than they were in November of last year, but they actually came in higher than last week. They came in at 21.8 million. So we need to use 96.15 million bushels per week to get to the USDA current estimate. And if you look at where we're at, the implied usage would be 93.15. But, you know, we're coming into the time of year and we're somewhat coming out of the pandemic. I think that we've got a really good chance of making it to wherever the USDA is projecting. I looked at the inverses in the market. That sometimes gives us a little bit of a indication as to whether the commercials are actually getting the grains that they need, and it looks that way. May to July corn went from a 14 cent to a 17 cent inverse. May to December corn went from 83 to 83. It stayed the same. So it didn't do much. When you look at the beans, it went from 9 to 10 inverse, not a real big change. The big change came in the May to November beans. It went from $1.77.5 last week to $2.01. And, you know, so they are definitely saying, well, you know, we're not going to take any big chances on buying lots of beans ahead of this report.
On that note, the prospective plantings and grain stocks reports are out next week. Anything on them?
I do. Informa. Well, it used to be Informa. They are now IHS Market, came out with their prospective plantings. Corn came in at 94.3 million acres. That'd be up 103.8%. Grain sorghum came in at 7.2 million acres. That'd be up 123%. So I thought that was interesting. Oats came in down 6% from last year, which isn't a big surprise. Barley was up. Winter wheat up 105%. Spring wheat, though, down almost 8%. And when we look at Durham up. So, you know, all wheat all the way across the board came up 102%. Rice is significantly lower by 7%. Soybeans up 108%. Now they're coming in on soybean numbers at 89.7, which is lower than what a lot of the guesses that I've been just hearing around, not actually seeing on paper. And so we'll see once what happens there. Sunflowers, they expect to be higher. You know, one of the problems we have, Todd, is that we have pretty good prices for everything we're talking about here. And they are projecting that cotton is actually going to be down by about 2.4% over last year. Not a lot, 289,000 acres. But the big question comes, if we expand the acres like we expect, where's it going to come from? Well, you and I know from living in Illinois, it can come from a lot of places. There's a lot of ditches and lawns and everything else that can get planted, and we've seen that in the past. And so it'll be interesting to see how close this comes in. I'm going to revisit what I talked about last week, where soy acres were below the trade estimates each of the last 3 years, while corn acres exceeded the estimates the last 2 years, two out of 2 years, and three out of the last 5 years. So it'll be very interesting to see what actually happens. And I can't wait for next Wednesday, to be absolutely honest with you.
Hey, speaking of that, and I know we're a little ahead here, but I want to know if sometimes, and whether you have this information on hand, you'll give us some information about day of and then maybe a couple of weeks after the reports. And we don't have the reports at the moment, but maybe going into it might be interesting to have a feel for what normally happens.
So this is December corn action after the March plantings intentions. And I think that, you know, you look at 2012, we were down 12 cents the day before, but report day, we were up 16. 13, we were steady the day before, and the day of, we were down 32 and a quarter. When we talk about 2 weeks later, sideways basically pretty much dominates everything other than 2015 and 2020. When you looked at 2015, we were up 3.5 cents the day before, down 17.5 cents the day of. 16, down 5.5 the day before, down 15.5 the day of. 17, down 1, up 7.25. 18, steady, up 14.5. 19, up 1/4, down 13.5. And 2020, down 4.5, and the day of, down 2.25. So, you know, it's, wow, you know, just take a dartboard, shoot it at the wall. I mean, it's just, you can see, of course, we've had more downs than we've had ups, But the day before has been very strange from the standpoint, I shouldn't say strange. It's just been a situation. You can see how conservative the market is in most cases the day before one of these reports. And then after, again, like I said, you know, almost everything was sideways from the new levels that it went to on report day. And so not a big lot going on, but I think it's just interesting to know what the reactions can be. I mean, like 2015, up 3.5 and then down 17.5 the day of the report. These are things that just indicate that the market was shifted one way and the information coming in didn't support what the market was thinking.
USDA weekly crop progress reports start in April.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that amazing? You know, I'm very much looking forward to the spring. They do have a crop report out in the winter and the early spring though, Todd, that really covers just certain states. So they did come out yesterday and said that the week ratings improved in Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, and Colorado, which was very good. And they also said that Oklahoma, 36% of the wheat is in the jointing stage, and that's ahead of the 5-year average of 31%. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Farmers in the plains, you know, states grow that hard red winter wheat, which is the largest wheat class, of course, and that's milled into flour for bread. So we really watch those guys, especially during the month of March. March is probably the most dangerous month in my mind for wheat. In Arkansas, that's where your farmers grow that soft red wheat that they use for cookies and snack foods and stuff. And they really did that state said 57% of the wheat is good to excellent, and that's up from 53 the week before. So you can really see some of the changes that are going on. They did come in with corn planting, 52% complete in Louisiana and 11% complete in Mississippi.
Hey, can we, as we wrap this up, focus on supply and demand functions around the planet and maybe start with China and then pick up Brazil and Argentina for me?
Okay. Well, China, you know, we're butting heads with them, and so is the world butting heads with them right now. So the majority of the news coming out of there has been that ASF keeps on rearing its ugly head, you know, African swine fever. The question comes down to, can they control it enough to reach the levels of hog numbers that they were expecting, you know, and what impact might that have on corn exports to China. Now we flip over to Brazil. Kind of interesting there. Soy exports are seen to be at 16.1 million metric tons in March. That's actually down from 16.4 that was projected last week. And for corn exports, 115,000 tons versus 136,000 tons. You know, there's real issues down there, because this is the time of year too when they start to export corn ethanol, all of those types of things. So everything is kind of running into everything because of how late planting was. Interestingly enough, you know, when we talk about exports, a Supreme Court judge in Brazil suspended the preliminary work on this much anticipated Ferragar railroad, which is the grain railroad, excuse me. And that's actually linking the state of Mato Grosso, which is Brazil's largest producer of beans, corn, cotton, and cattle, with the port of Miritiba. And, you know, that's up on what we call the Northern Arc, up on the Amazon River. It was scheduled to start bidding now in 2021, but there's been lots of opposition, and mostly because the railway would actually cut across part of a park, the land of a park. And they're concerned about the impact to the 48 indigenous areas in Mato Grosso and Pará. So the Ferragar Railroad really would just be such a benefit to them, because it would actually lower their costs. There's no question about it. Now, that proposed railroad they expect is going to cost $4 billion. That's 21.5 billion real. It would also lower the carbon emissions, you know, because of the fact that they have so much truck traffic on BR-163. And, you know, 163 is the only land connection right now between Mato Grosso and the central Amazon region. So it's going to be interesting. I think this is just a good example of how tough it is to get things done down in Brazil. They ended their bean season with 347 cases of soybean rust. I thought this was interesting, too. Last year, 191. 393 is the 5-year average, and 1,056 is the 15-year average. So they really have had favorable weather in the last 15 years, as well as some improvement when it comes to the fungicides. Argentina continued to see the crop stabilizing. You know, it looks like there might be more weather coming in. I've got the crop ratings. Brazil beans this week rated at 5. That's the highest. That's the highest end on crops. Full season corn at 4, and safrinha corn at 4. Those are both. Everything's the same basically as last week. Argentina beans 3-4. Argentina corn 4.
Hey, thank you so much, Jackie. Jackie Vakes is with TotalFarmMarketing.com. She is in Hollister, Missouri. You know, traders are mostly expecting next week's USDA quarterly grain stocks report to be positive to the corn market. However, the numbers tend to be a bit more elusive in years with corn quality problems. Last fall's corn harvest is a good example of a problem year. Iowa, the number one corn-producing state in the nation, had a twofold issue. First, there was a drought in the western part of the state. It's typically the most productive corn area in Iowa. Then the winds blew in eastern Iowa. The derecho devastated a huge area. Consequently, Iowa has a corn quality issue, and North Dakota State's Brain Olson explains that's a problem for USDA when it counts grain stocks.
So USDA has a much more difficult time in years where we have a corn quality problem to make sure we have the right number. And of course, once you run it across the scale, if you have a test weight problem, most farmers report their inventories based off, you know, the bushels in a bin, and may not always adjust for the quality attributes like a test weight or a moisture adjustment.
Here's how that works in the real world when USDA surveys farmers about how much corn they have in storage, says the NDSU Extension agricultural economist.
You know, when you answer your survey, you write it down as 12,000, but it might be something a little less than that by the time you take it out and you run it across a scale. And so, you know, when we're talking, you know, 5+ billion bushels of corn going into the livestock sector, you know, you start taking a couple percent here and a couple percent there for test weight adjustments and or moisture adjustments, and, you know, that adds up to some big bushels.
Now, USDA may have already made some adjustments for these issues. For instance, it reduced the national corn yield in January and grain stocks fell. It could be the traders expecting corn disappearance in the last quarter to follow what appeared to be big livestock demand for feed might be surprised by the March 31 figure. Hey, you know, as you're getting that farm machinery ready to go to the field for the growing season in 2021, I'm going to ask you to add one other item to your list. Hook your Bluetooth phone up to the tractor cab radio. That way you can check in on the closing market report or commodity week whenever you'd like. You can do that from our website through the Bluetooth phone, right through your radio at willag.org. Just click and play, or if you'd prefer, you can download an app like Google Play to your Android device or to your iOS device or Apple Podcast. You can find us in Stitcher and SoundCloud, Spotify too. However you listen through those apps, you can do it right there on your radio in the tractor cab during the planting season. We'll keep you up to date on all the kinds of information that you need to keep your farm profitable. Let's take a look at the weather forecast now. Drew Lerner is here from World Weather Incorporated. Drew, thank you for being with us. Let's start in the Northern Hemisphere. Are there regions of concern across North America or other places that have not gotten rain in the last couple of rounds? That have come across, and I guess I'm talking mostly about North America at this point.
Yeah, you know, we're still watching real closely the lack of precipitation and the poor soil moisture that's present in the northern plains, North Dakota in particular, but also in portions of eastern Montana, and then northward straight up into the heart of the Canadian prairies, including southern Alberta, a big part of southern and eastern Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, all of those areas are really hurting for moisture. Now, you know, it's still late March, and this is the time of the year they start pushing a little bit of oat into the ground in South Dakota. And sometimes in a good year, we can do that in North Dakota also. I don't know that we're going to be able to do much of that. South Dakota actually has good moisture relative to areas to the north. So we may get started okay down that way. But further to the north, it's an absolute must that we get precipitation. And last night, some of the computer forecast models came in and suggested a nice little snow event for Canada's prairies. But I have to tell you, I don't think it's going to verify. They may get a little bit of moisture, but it's not going to make any difference. In addition to that, of course, a little farther on the other side of the world, we're still watching dryness in parts of Russia's southern region. That area is working on its second or third year of dryness, and there is a rain event that's happening right now that will last probably into Friday, and it will produce maybe some 1 to 2 inch rains in some of that region. It'll be a very, very important event, and will help them come into the starting period for winter crop development and spring planting in better shape. But they've got a long ways to go. They've got a lot of moisture deficit to fix, and the same is true for Canada and the northern U.S. plains.
Southern Hemisphere, you've been watching closely all winter long, at least winter here. Any changes or updates?
Well, the latest is that we've got a big rain event coming across Argentina today, and that's going to produce a lot of moisture for southern and eastern parts of the country. And we're going to see probably local flooding. My guess is the some of the eastern areas in Argentina are still wet from the last rain event that occurred. But a much higher percentage of the country is going to be saturated with moisture in the topsoil here for a little while. So the bottom line, you know, they're starting to cool down seasonally. So temperatures most of this week have been in the 70s for afternoon temperatures. So, you know, if we're going to continue that and we actually will turn a little cooler behind this rain, we're going to conserve that moisture. So I don't think there's any reason for us to be too terribly concerned about Argentina finishing up with, you know, a shortage of moisture. I think they will be plenty moist and be able to finish out quite favorably.
And in Brazil?
Yeah, Brazil, you know, we've got a big area of dry biased weather that's expected over the next 10 days. This is going to include the southeast half of Mato Grosso, southward all the way into Paraná, and then from there to Bahia. And these areas will likely see at least a 10-day period with limited amounts of rain, and will likely see the ground firm up, which is so badly needed. After all the rain that's occurred, we're going to see late-season soybean harvesting finally get done, and we'll probably see the safrinha corn that's still being planted in some areas also finishing up. Now, it's also extremely late. I mean, the seasonal rains often end in the end of April. So if you're planting corn this week, it's going to be hard for that crop to have any moisture to work with when reproduction comes along in May. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of a bottom line Brazil gets on their safrinha crop. But for right now, anyway, at least the farmers are happy with the break in weather they're going to get.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Have yourself a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.